You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Hey, Laura. How are you today?
Well, it's a big day in the Hoover house because since we've been home so much over the last year, this is the first time my kids have had a cold. They've forgotten what it's like. So everyone right now literally is lying on the couch with TV trays for their lunch. Yeah, they just, it was like, I don't know, it's just a big holiday over here. So...
Well, did school go okay this morning?
Yeah, we got school done. We even got outside. Then Shelby started saying her throat hurt. So anyways, we're down for the count.
And how are you feeling okay?
Oh, yeah, feeling good. Okay. Well, good. You doing well?
Yes, still loving being in wonderful California, though.
Woo-woo!
For some reason, it's not quite as sunny as I was expecting today, but I guess this is still beautiful, sunny California anyhow.
Yeah, they call it May gray, actually. I think it's starting a little early, so.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
I didn't sign up for May gray, but I guess I'll get it anyhow.
Right. Well, Dad, why don't you go ahead and introduce our topic and special guest for today?
Well, you bet. Today we have a great topic and a super great guest. Our topic is entrepreneurism and the life vision statement. We're going to be looking at a guy in his life on how he has started a business and how the Leadership Edge life vision statement guided his life. So let me introduce the life vision statement first, and then I'll get to our guest. The life vision statement for Leadership Edge is, by God's grace, to step forward as God's man or woman and my spheres of influence to serve his purposes for his glory. So that's a life vision statement. And our guest is a dear friend, Steve Shuffle, and he is the founder of Whimsical. He's based in Denver. And Laura, I'll let you lead off with our introduction of Steve.
Okay, great. Well, Steve, we're so glad to have you on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for making time. So, okay, I have met your lovely wife, Sarah, but I'm not even sure we've met in person. So why don't you introduce, like, to me and to all of our listeners, just tell us a little bit about your life story, where you're from, college, marriage, career, all that.
Sure thing. Yeah, absolutely. So I'll just kind of hit some of the high points, but I am from Charlottesville, Virginia. I was born and raised there. Come from a family of four kids. So I have two older sisters, younger brother. Both my parents are believers, so I grew up in a Christian home, going to church each week. Mm-hmm. I went to a Christian private school all the way through K through 12. And, you know, it wasn't actually until before my junior year of high school when the Lord kind of found me and changed my heart. So it was back in around 2003. Mm-hmm. I went to college to play lacrosse. So I went to Duke and met my wife, Sarah, there. She also played on the women's lacrosse team.
Oh, cool.
And this is also where I got to know John, and our friendship and mentorship relationship started. I would say a lot of college was about exploration for me, just in terms of learning. And I spent 5 years there in total and just kind of gradually found myself moving toward the arts, and that was just what I was enjoying and what I felt like I had natural gifting in. So that was graphics and photography and fine arts and film, and eventually I took a kind of an intro to web class where we built these like basic websites, and I realized that that was the thing that I wanted to do for my career. And my fifth year in Duke was spent, it was an extra year of eligibility for lacrosse, and so that's why I was there. And so I spent that kind of ramping up and trying to get the skills that I needed to get going. Sarah and I got married right after I graduated. We lived in Northern Virginia, D.C. for a few years before coming out to Colorado, where we are now. Just on a kind of family basis. We have two kids right now. Cooper is 4, coming up on 4.5. Sadie is 2. And then we have a baby girl due in about 3 weeks.
Man.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then just to give you kind of like a quick overview in terms of work stuff. So I kind of had this general idea that I wanted to do design and internet type things. Coming out of college, I got an internship at a medium-sized digital agency, and that's kind of where I learned the fundamentals of design. I had this desire to do more work on products, so I moved to another company in Denver. Fell in love with, it's kind of nerdy, but a particular type of software business model, which is a subscription software. Cool. That just is like a lot of fun and has really cool dynamics to it. And then in kind of the beginning of 2018, I started working on Whimsical with a former coworker of mine whose name is Caspers. And so I have been working on that for coming up on 3.5 years.
Awesome. That was a great recap. Well, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about the kind of your career path in just a little bit. But I wanted to go back to, can you just tell us a little bit more about how you came to faith? I know you said that was in high school. So how did that happen? And maybe tell us about, you know, just some of the major growth points or, yeah, just a few of the highlights.
Yeah, absolutely. So besides the family influence and kind of growing up in the church and Christian school, there was one man who had a significant influence on my faith and mm-hmm. as I was growing up, and this guy was Dave Breslin. He was a teacher of mine in middle school who then became a really close friend and brother of mine, and eventually was my lacrosse coach in high school and a mentor type figure for me. So he played a really big role initially in just encouraging and developing my relationship with God. And then I think I kind of lost my way somewhere in middle school. Maybe mm-hmm. it's not like too uncommon of a time to just be like searching and trying to figure things out. I was on a number of varsity teams because we were at a small private school, and just kind of got tied up in the wrong things. I think it was fairly obvious to my parents at the time, and they were trying to figure out some way to help me out. So one of the actual big moments for me was going to a summer camp where they spend like this intense week just going through various religions and worldviews, and then they build this argument for why Christianity stands apart as like truth. And I wasn't aware how lost I was at the time, and I wasn't particularly looking for anything. And it was just there that the Lord found me, and I heard him kind of calling me to himself. And so that was kind of the start for me. And it was helpful because it kind of gave me about 2 years to prep for college, and college itself was a big kind of period of growth for me in kind of like another chapter. So that was kind of just like being independent, navigating these new social circles, gaining knowledge, and having an enormous amount of free time and like just unstructured time. And I thought that was actually really helpful just to grow and learn and spend time with the Lord and also in fellowship with others. And this was kind of where I had this multi-year mentoring relationship and friendship with John, which was just kind of this foundational pillar during that time where I was processing life and faith and college and what laid ahead. And so that was kind of like a big part of establishing somewhat of a framework for thinking about influence and living out a life of faith. I would say that the last two quick like categories or chapters have been married life and starting a career, and then after that just kind of married with kids and starting a company. So I think switching to married and starting my job was a fairly profound like context change for me. It took quite a few years just to, I don't know, kind of find my rhythm and figure out it's like constantly changing. I think that, you know, constantly changing, adding kids into the mix was like a big part of that. And I think so that this most recent chapter has really been characterized by more responsibility, but also, interestingly, more freedom. And freedom's been like a big theme for us at Whimsical. And partially it's just like how we've structured the company and some of the decisions we've made. But we're remote first, which means like everybody's working from their home. We're in asynchronous, which kind of means our work style is the vast majority of it is via writing and documentation as opposed to real-time meetings or chat. So everybody has like a ton of control over their schedules and very few meetings. Anyway, the reason this ties into faith for me is that there was this moment early on in Whimsical when I realized, like, you know, I'm now my own boss. I can totally take advantage of this freedom to prioritize my schedule according to what's important to me. And so that meant, one, spending time with Sarah and the kids in the morning, helping them get their days off to a good start, and, you know, maybe at lunchtime or whenever it was that it would be helpful, but also getting to spend time with the Lord to start each and every day. And so it's in the last couple of years have actually been some of the richest times of my faith kind of walk or journey. It's been incredibly consistent just to kind of like attach to this regular work schedule and have that time with the Lord.
Gosh, that's fascinating, Steve. I'll get to this in a few minutes, but I find that so many times guys who are starting up businesses, their lives just get consumed. So I look forward to us talking a little bit about that freedom part. But just tell us a bit about Whimsical. Like, what's the the product of Whimsical? What do you guys produce, and where are you at in the development of the startup?
Sure. Yeah. So where we are right now is we're creating tools for communication and thinking as a team. So what it looks like really is it's a bit like a digital whiteboard plus Google Docs. So some sort of like text document where you can do these kind of different collaboration or communication activities inside of them. It helps kind of teams communicate more efficiently, get work done faster. How it got started and where we're at now. So we started about 3.5 to 4 years ago. We're about 12 people now. We've been profitable for like the last 2 to 3-ish years. I met my co-founder Casper's at, as I mentioned before, at one of the last jobs that I had, the previous job to this. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I was attending this Faith and Work event at one point before I joined and started Whimsical. And, I was listening to a couple, founders and venture capitalists talk in this panel. And in the midst of that, just like being in the crowd listening, I almost felt audibly like heard, like, I want you to start a company from the Lord. And at that time I said, wow, like I've never heard anything like this before. That's so crazy. And I literally went back home and told Sarah, like, you won't believe this. The thing was, is that I didn't know when or where or what. And so when this opportunity started to emerge with joining Casper's and doing Whimsical, I didn't even realize that was what God kind of was pointing me toward and getting me ready for.
Have y'all gone through like the traditional funding rounds like you hear that startups do, or how has the funding gone for the business?
Yeah, fundraising, I think, is such an interesting topic, and it's such a fundamental one because it happens typically early on and it determines a lot of things downstream. For us, we did apply to some accelerator programs early on, which is a very common path. We didn't get accepted to them, and I think it was honestly a gift that was the case, because what we decided to do was put our heads down and say, okay, let's just try to do it without it. And so we launched our product and started charging money for it. And pretty quickly we said, you know, I think we have a path to profitability without any outside money.
That's remarkable.
And it's pretty unusual. And, you know, we've kind of evaluated along the way. It's never been this like thing that we absolutely won't do, but we've evaluated along the way as opportunities have come up. And we said, like, you know, should we be thinking about this? Should we be doing this? And we keep seeing such benefit to staying independent and allowing ourselves, once again, the freedom to make decisions based on our convictions and what we want to do with the company. And so it's really been, I think, a tremendous benefit to us so far.
So cool. And so let's go back to the whole lifestyle thing.
Sure.
You know, I've worked with numbers of guys who have started businesses, and sometimes it's just painful to watch their lives. Like, they are just 24/7 going all the time. They look like they're either about to collapse sometimes,
right,
to go into like a neurotic meltdown, you know, and certainly not all entrepreneurs, but a number of the ones I've been with through the years, it's like, gosh, I'm with them and I feel really sorry for just the stress they're going through. And yet, you know, I do realize that in business and really in life, there are definitely some crunch times that you have to pay a price. So, you know, back to the life vision statement, by God's grace to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve his purposes for his glory. I know that you learned that during our time together in at Duke. Has that played a part in giving guidance, especially in this period of starting and leading Whimsical? If so, in what way has it played a part? In what ways did it help? In what ways didn't it help? Just, I'm kind of throwing a lot of things at you, but just respond to any or all of what I just blabbed out.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. You know, I have given this some thought in that, interestingly, I think that really everyone encounters a lot of similar questions or challenges in life. And these are kind of like the fundamental heart things around identity and significance. And I think they might be a little bit more pronounced when you're doing a startup and you're kind of in this like entrepreneurial position. But I'm thinking about these questions, like, you know, what and who defines your deepest sense of identity, and where do you get your sense of security and self-worth and significance, and really, like, what and or whom are you living for? I think that again, like, I think they're there for everyone. I think they might be heightened because in a startup there's a more direct association with failure or success for the founders, and so it feels a little bit more connected. And but I think failure and success are these kind of tests, or they're these kind of inflection points where you experience plenty of them along the way, and each of them is kind of constantly forcing you to confront these questions about identity and significance and purpose. So I think looking at the vision statement, you know, you kind of realize it speaks directly to these things, such as, you know, who am I? Well, I'm God's man or woman, and what do I need to do to step forward for his purposes and glory, and whose glory is that? It's God's, not mine. And how do we even do this, or like, whose strength? And it's by God's grace. So I think it, what I would say is that the vision statement is this incredibly relevant framework and starting point for the life of an entrepreneur. What I've found for myself is that, and what I've found myself doing is expanding on these answers or these questions. For example, I was reading this book last year, which I think I actually shared with you. It's called The Sermon on the Mount, by Martin Lloyd-Jones. Yep. And so much of that book just kind of talks about this, like, identity, who you are in Christ. And I ended up creating this like longer summary document after I read it, and I reference it from time to time, because, you know, we're like really so many things. We're children and stewards and servants and soldiers and these things. And I guess to bring it back to the vision statement, I think one of the beauties of it is that it simplifies some of these big directional life things into a single short statement. And while like life is kind of crazy and all over the place, having something simple like that to come back to is really good and helpful.
So with the vision statement, was there one part of it, is there one part of it that either is particularly helpful or particularly challenging? So like the, you know, the phrases, by God's grace, two step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve his purposes for his glory. Any of those phrases either particularly helpful in kind of building the life that you've had as you're starting Whimsical, or ones that you really find pretty challenging?
Yeah, all of the above. I think in terms of helpful, inspiring, you know, to serve his purposes, you know, for his glory, I'm going to put those two together.
Yeah.
I think that just takes so much pressure off because it's not about me, and it kind of directs my eyes toward what really matters, like his purposes, his glory. Because I think when you're planning and you're seeing, you know, the ups and downs of the startup, it's so easy to start thinking about like the reward, like the money or the notoriety. But when you're kind of grounded by the sense that everything is for his glory, it provides so much freedom, because it's really like, I don't have anything to prove. And instead I just get to participate in his story and in the things he's prepared for me to do. And I don't even need to worry about outcomes. That's incredibly helpful. On the flip side, the challenging thing, I think would be the first part, by God's grace.
Yes.
Because, you know, for me personally, and just maybe as an entrepreneur, I'm really independent and self-sufficient. And I think if I revert to anything, it's kind of taking on the world in my own power and by my own abilities and just kind of figuring it out. Yeah. And, you know, I think you just kind of constantly are finding yourself, and this is a big part of the job of, you know, startup founder, is, okay, we don't know how to do this, but we need to have the confidence and determination to figure it out. And so I can very easily slide into that, as opposed to starting each day and throughout each day being saying, God, it's only by your grace that I'm doing these things, and help me here to honor you with everything I'm doing.
It's interesting as you're talking, Steve, and as I'm just thinking back through your life, you know, you are by nature a very competitive guy. You know, you played sports at, you know, a top university. You were on a national championship team. And there is, you know, an aggressiveness, a go-get-it, a win kind of part of you. But it seems like the Lord has not, like, neutered that or taken that away, but he's continued to shape it, you know, again, by God's grace, for his glory, you know, to where it's tempered, to where it means something long-term, it means something eternal. It's not just for this moment. You know, when we came up with the life vision statement, one of the verses that guided us was Proverbs 29:18, that in the New American Standard Translation, it says, where there is no vision, the people go unrestrained. And it's kind of the idea that if you don't have a vision, you just wander off, and you're not trying to be, you know, mean or rebellious or sinful or whatever. But if there's nothing that focuses you every day, you just wander off. So I want to throw this back to you, and then I'm going to turn it back to Laura. I really appreciated what you said at the very beginning about one of the core values at Whimsical is freedom. And so, and I know I'm kind of springing this on you, so if you don't have anything to say, that's fine. But as you put together the idea of Proverbs is suggesting that an unrestrained life is not a good thing, and yet you have really experienced, both in Whimsical and even in what you're saying about having your identity in Christ and the freedom that that brings, you've really experienced the good parts of freedom. Any thoughts on the interplay between not living unrestrained, but living towards freedom? Anything come to your mind in that, Steve?
Yeah. Well, with your earlier point about competition and kind of like really going for something. I mean, I think that's absolutely a part of the startup journey, and that's part of the fun is kind of saying, well, you know, what can we create? Can we do something with excellence? Like perhaps even better than it's ever been done before. Like we talk about that a lot. And I think that's totally fine and God honoring. And I'm glad to be in a position where we can do that. I think when, you know, you're talking about this kind of unrestrainedness, and that kind of like coming into the picture, I think, you're exactly right when you're saying like having something to channel, and provide these boundaries is really healthy. Cause I think a lot of the unhealth that I've seen or heard about happen in startups is kind of due to, kind of missing the most important thing and thereby misordering priorities. So like, for instance, like God tells us he wants for us to love him first and foremost with everything we had in us. So yeah. He wants us to have healthy hearts. Yes. And if your heart is meaning here, like your deepest desires or the sources of your security and meaning, you know, he's actually saving you by saying, do this, because, you know, mm-hmm. if you get this wrong, like a lot of other things are going to go wrong. And then to love other people, to care for our family, to take meaningful Sabbath rest from our work, to, you know, do work that's meaningful and it's actually like important, like it's supposed to be there. We're intended to pursue excellence. And, you know, so it's like kind of these like guide rails. And then of course he tells us like, you know, money, success, fame, if those become goals unto themselves, like that's where, you know, our work actually starts to harm us and harm the people around us.
That's so good. That's good, Steve. So Laura, do you want to wrap up our time with Steve?
Yeah, definitely. Well, Steve, and one thing that I thought was interesting was you talking about how you, like going into this, you really kind of set clearly, I guess, what your priorities were and you know, things that were non-negotiable. So can you mm-hmm. give any thoughts or advice to listeners who might be kind of at the beginning of, you know, a startup journey, any advice on the importance of having and living by, you know, a God-centered, biblically-based vision mm-hmm. for daily life?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really kind of connected to a couple of things I have been saying, but I think if I had any advice, it's to trust God and put him first. Yes. Because, you know, he's our father and he delights in us and knows exactly what we need. And he's also king of the universe and has like supreme control. And so practically, you know, my goal each day is actually faithfulness, not necessarily making my business succeed. And I was kind of thinking, it brings to mind this C.S. Lewis line, something about like, when you put first things first, then the second things end up getting thrown in. But if you put the second things first, you lose both. And I totally think it's the same exact way with work, where, you know, God needs to come first, like the greatest good. And then once that's and work, therefore, is kind of properly ordered, then it often goes well, too. And I kind of think that along the same lines of family, like there's this constant tension of like, how much am I working versus how much time am I spending with my family and kind of like sacrificing one versus the other. And so I think there is like a healthy tension, but it's really one of those places where you just kind of have to trust and say, Lord, like really what my purpose here is to honor you. And if I can do that, then I really don't need to be worrying about, is the business going to succeed on some kind of like monetary or, you know, external metric.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Steve, for joining us and sharing kind of your experience and thoughts. It's really helpful.
Absolutely. I really enjoyed it. And thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Dad, let me toss it to you. Can you wrap us up?
You bet. If you want to learn more about Steve's business, Whimsical, you can go to whimsical.com and you'll see their front page there and learn all about what they're up to. And Steve, yeah, thank you so much for being a part of this. am so grateful for how you live your life and just how honest you are about both the great parts and the challenging parts of doing what you do. For those of you who are interested, in terms of our listeners, we a lot of what Steve is living now is what we hope for with those who are mentored through Leadership Edge. And we are about the life vision statement that we've shared in the podcast today and about how to train mentors, both in the U.S. and in other countries, to prayerfully invest in the life of emerging leaders around them. So if you'd like to learn more about Leadership Edge or about our mentor training, you can go to our website, www.lead-edge.com, and there you'll learn more about what we're up to. So we appreciate you listening, and Laura, I'll let you wrap us up.
Great. Thanks, Dad and Steve. And thanks so much, listeners, for joining us.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.